First Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18 once again tonight. We are picking up where we left off, talking about the altar of the Lord here in 1 Kings 18. And we're going to pick up in verse 30, and I want to read down through verse 39 because those are the verses that we will be focusing on. We focused on verse 30 last week, and we want to pick up where we left off and say a few more things about the altar of the Lord here. Let's first look at 1 Kings 18, verse number 30. It says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. We've seen that this was a very dark time in Israel, as God's people were in a very, very much so a crisis situation. We said any time and anywhere that sin reigns, you've got a crisis situation. I don't care what group of people you're talking about. We're talking about an individual life, or you're talking about a group of folks. If sin is reigning, this is a crisis situation for that person or that group of persons. We know that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we saw how the spiritual condition of the nation was shown by its leadership. I mean, Ahab, you know, if Ahab had delivered a State of the Union address to Israel at this time, no doubt he would have given a glowing report about how things were going and pointed out how the opposition were, the prophets of God were the problem. They were responsible for the only problem of not hopping aboard the Baal bandwagon. But the reality of the problem was that Israel, as a nation, was broken. They were broken politically. They had ungodly, corrupt leadership. They were broken morally. They were a nation of fornicators and idolaters. And they were broken spiritually. They were a nation of fence straddlers, as we saw there in an earlier piece of scripture there, in verse number 21. And the problem was that the people of God did not want to wholly commit unto the God. They wanted the Lord God, Jehovah, when they were in trouble. But they wanted Baal, too, because the worship of Baal appealed to their flesh. And we saw that their great need was for revival. When we're talking about revival here, we're not talking about a series of meetings. We're talking about they needed to recognize their sins. They needed to acknowledge their sins, and they needed to repent in their lives, and they needed to return to their God, and they needed revival. And God had told them in the days of Solomon, I mean, we see here that here's a drought. They're in the midst of a drought. And the Lord had said in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Well, this is that time. God shut up heaven that there was no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, last time we were looking at how the spiritual condition of the nation was shown by the condition of the altar of the Lord. And we were focusing on this broken down altar and its need of repair. We first of all were looking at the purpose of the altar, and we got a couple of ways in. We didn't get even finished with that, but we said that the altar was a place of sacred. It was a sacred place where a man got in contact with God, and God intended for the altar to be a place of thanksgiving and praise. But that altar was broken down. That means that Israel was not giving him any thanksgiving and praise. We saw that it was to be a place of confession. And where man came and confessed, they brought a sacrifice to cover their sin, and they would confess their sin and be forgiven of their sin. But the altar of the Lord had been broken down, so the nation was not confessing its sins. And they were covering their sins. And Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." We said, you know, one of the big problems is they didn't have any brokenness over sin. When you read about Ahab and the people here, you see no brokenness at all. There's no brokenness over sin. And that's where we left off last week. And I want to pick up today and see some additional things about the altar. Not only was the altar be a place of thanksgiving and praise and a place of confession, but we see that the altar was to be a place of sacrifice. That is where man would bring his first fruits to the Lord. And there man would set apart or consecrate his best to the Lord. And as you bring the first fruits and bring of the best, but listen, the altar of the Lord had been broken down. In fact, Baal was getting what belonged to the Lord. These people weren't bringing anything to the Lord. And sadly, for many folks today, if they give anything, it is more likely to be what's left over rather than their first fruits. And is more likely to be something other than their best. God wants our best. He doesn't want our leftovers. Somebody put it this way: God wants what's right. He don't want what's left. Okay? God wants what's right, not what's left. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, you'll never give right until you first give of yourself to the Lord. Not only was the altar to be a place of sacrifice, but the altar was to be a place of death. In fact, it was a continual place of death. As the sacrifices were made, these animals were killed. But listen, the altar of the Lord was broken down. My mind goes back to Genesis 22 when Abraham built an altar on Mount Moriah to be obedient to God and sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord. But listen, Abraham had to die to himself first before he ever thought about offering up Isaac as a sacrifice. And you know, we have to die to self before we will ever be obedient to the Lord God the way that we should. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, "I die daily." And this is what we as believers are to do. We're to die to self daily. We are to die to self and live unto God. We are to die to self so that Christ can live his resurrected life through our lives. But listen, it's hard in our day, in the day and time in which we live, just to get believers to die to self on Sunday. You know, forget about the rest of the week. You know, if you could just get them to die to self on Sunday. But that's not even happening a lot of times. And so the altar was to be a place of death. And then the altar was to be a place of communion. It's where men would call on the name of the Lord and meet with God. But the altar of the Lord had been broken down. God had told, he tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know? How many times do we fail to call on the Lord? Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hands are not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And that's the problem that the people had here, is their sins separated them from the blessings of God. Had they forsaken idolatry, had forsaken these idols, and turned to the Lord in repentance and faith, and got back to the Lord, the Lord would be listening to their prayers. But they didn't have a prayer to be heard at this point. Well, the only prayer the Lord was listening for was a prayer of confession and repentance. And so we see the purpose of the altar. Now, second of all, I want you to notice the polluting of the altar. I mean, obviously, it says that the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, you think about this. The other side that we read last week, the prophets of Baal, they've already chosen their sacrifice. They've already offered their sacrifice. They've danced all over it and cut themselves and made all kinds of racket going on, abusing the altar. No doubt that was the old altar of the Lord that they were using for the sacrificing to their idols. I mean, because here we see he says he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. How did he get broken down? Well, I think they were using the same altar here, but it got broken down in all this junk that was going on with them trying to reach out to Baal, which was in vain. And any god other than the Lord God is in vain. Now, we see that the altar had been misused. Often, when the nation of Israel turned from the Lord, that which was previously dedicated to the Lord was used, or I should say rather misused, to sacrifice to other gods. Now, listen, you can't sacrifice that which belongs to the Lord to Baal and then expect fire from the Lord when you need it. It's just not going to happen. We can't just turn on our spirituality like a water spigot and turn it off, you know. As some folks, that's the way they treat their relationship with the Lord. Oh, I got trouble in my life. Let's turn. I want the blessings of the Lord. Let me turn it on. I need God. And that's basically what we see happening by and large in our nation. I mean, you think about it, our leaders have kicked the Lord and His Word, prayer out of our schools and out of other places in our nation. And you know, that is until something tragic happens. You know, every time they have a school shooting, they want everybody to pray for the people that are involved. Wanting to turn that spigot on, but they'll immediately turn it back off. Like one of these separation of church and state. That's a misuse of the Lord. We who know the Lord are His. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But people are misusing God's temple. You know, if this is God's temple, the altar is the heart now. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The altar had been misused. The altar had been abused. The condition of the altar was that such that it was broken down, and you know, things are abused when they are regarded lightly. Things are abused when people have an attitude of, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, it really doesn't matter. Many show that they take the things of God lightly when they use them for their own purposes. There's a lot of folks that abuse the local church. To some, it's just somewhere to be married, buried. It's just another place to be entertained. Or it's just another social club, or it's just another place. Nothing special. You know, listen, this is a special place. Amen. When we come together as God's people, and the Lord's in our midst, listen, it's special. And we don't need to abuse the Lord's church. Some have abused prayer. Some folks only talk to God when they're in trouble or want something from God. People live their lives unto themselves, and their heart is full of self and the world and everything contrary to God. And then trouble comes along, and they cry out to God, and then wonder why they can't get their prayers answered. Well, you know, we need to stay on praying terms, don't we? We just really do. So the altar had been misused, the altar had been abused, and the altar had been, number three, neglected. Something that is neglected will not get better, but will only deteriorate. You take an automobile, and you don't do any maintenance on it, it's not going to be good for that automobile. I saw a little truck. I'm kind of in the market for a small truck if I can find one that I can afford that's not in too bad a shape. And I was driving along the highway to Green Cove Springs and saw one there on the side of the road. Well, when I popped the hood and pulled the oil stick, I could tell the oil had not been changed in a long time. You know, somebody messed up with the maintenance. And I knew, hey, this ain't the one. If they haven't kept the oil changed, you're going to have problems. Same thing with your house. If you don't keep up with the maintenance on your house, what's going to happen? It's going to fall apart eventually. We used to ride to Dothan, Alabama from Brunswick, Georgia. It's a good 6.5 hour drive with my parents. My grandparents lived in Dothan, Alabama, and we'd make that trek twice a year to Dothan, Alabama. And when we would ride across there, you see all these barns and houses and all that had been neglected, that had just been left when nobody doing anything to them. They were just falling in, falling apart. And that's the way it is. You know, when you neglect something, it's not good. It's not going to get better. It's only going to deteriorate. And the same holds true for our walk with the Lord. We need the Word of God. The Bible keeps you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. We need prayer. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to be instant in prayer. We need the assembly. Folks, we need one another. We need to be here. Forsake not the assembly. And I think as we draw closer to the Lord coming, we're going to need one another even more as things in our society continue to head south. So we see the purpose of the altar, the polluting of the altar, and now I want you to notice here the preparation of the altar by Elijah. Elijah recognized the condition of the altar. You know, some people are blinded to the fact that their altar is broken down. Elijah looked at the altar. He knew, hey, look, before I offer anything, this altar's got to be repaired. You're not going to have fire, the fire of God, until you open your spiritual eyes and recognize the awful, broken down condition that the altar of your heart is in. And as long as we deceive ourselves into thinking that nothing is wrong with the altar, we'll never make the needed repairs in order to see the fire of God fall in our lives. So Elijah recognized the condition of the altar. We see Elijah repaired the altar. Because, listen, sacrifice on a broken altar is not acceptable to the Lord. You got to become dissatisfied with the condition of the altar, and you got to become determined to see God work. And if you're determined to see God work, you're going to have to work on that altar. You got to get it in shape. Amen. And so Elijah there in verse number 33, we see that he set things in order upon the altar. And you know, he talks about how he laid everything out there. And you know, what I find really interesting here is with the lack of rain, water is scarce. But man, he was wanting to make sure that they knew that what is coming down and consuming this sacrifice, not man. He didn't have anything to do with it. You know, he wasn't going to secretly flip a match over there and fire consume it. No, he made sure that all that water was poured on, and I'm sure the folks standing around there, they were probably licking their lips and thinking, boy, I'd like to have a drink of that. But he poured it on there three times, and the water runs around the altar and fills up the trench there with the water. What a sight there. But he removed all human possibility there with what he did and pouring that water on there. And we see Elijah reverenced God here, there in verse 36 and 37. I like what he has to say there. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, and notice what he calls the Lord God. He said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. That's the covenant God. That's the covenant, the one that had the covenant with Israel here. He said, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Elijah was being obedient there, And we see he reverenced God there. Notice verse 37. He cries out to the Lord. You know, he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again." Now, he wasn't interested in how he looked. He was interested in how God looked. You know, we get more interested in the Lord's name being on at stake. A lot more could be accomplished. Amen. So Elijah reverenced God. Elijah relied upon the Word of God there. And Elijah requested action on the part of God. We see that the fire fell there. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Listen, what shape is your altar in today? I'm talking about your heart. Not the beating organ. I'm not talking about the heart that beats. You know, I'm talking about that within you that responds to the Lord. How can we see the fire of God fall in our lives today? And I'm talking about having revival. Yeah, we're going through the book of 1 Kings. We just happen to be here talking about revival a few weeks before. We're planning on having some revival services in view of hoping to have revival. I mean, and I hope that we do have revival. We're having revival meetings. So, and we're praying that God will allow us to have revival. And so, here we see the fire of God fall. We need the fire of God to fall in our lives. That's what we see here. There's some things that you, won't see it in. It's not in the numbers. We know that, Elijah was outnumbered 450-1 by the prophets of Baal. And I said, before, if you got God on your side, you're in the majority. Okay, so he really wasn't in the minority. But if you're just counting people, just counting persons, that you would say, okay, well, it's 451. And that's leaving God out of the equation. You don't want to do that. But it's not in the numbers. It's not in the noise. You think about how we saw last week, how the cries that were made there. You know, they called on the name of Baal there in verse 26 from morning even until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice. Nothing was coming. They leaped on the altar there. They began to cut themselves. They were involved in a lot of noise and a lot of activity. You know, that's not where God's at. He's not in the noise and in the activity. We will see it in the right things. And that's in choosing to serve the right God. When we choose to put God back in His rightful place in our lives, and then we take and get the altar back in shape like it needs to be. Listen, that's where it's at. Revival's not just going to happen in our lives, in our families, and in our church, or in our nation. You've got to prepare for it. You know, you've got to prepare for it. Amen. Well, that's our Bible study for tonight. Let's pull out our prayer list and we'll pray for the needs and we'll be dismissed tonight.